As we all know, election campaigns have themes. You'll recognize this one.
Barack Obama calls it spreading the wealth. Joe Biden calls higher taxes patriotic. Joe the plumber said it sounded to him like socialism.
Ooh, whoa. A great applause line there Sarah Palin has, but it's also a rich stew of ideas. Redistributing the wealth, patriotism, socialism. Listen to that. In the U.S., patriotism and socialism not only don't go together, they're nearly opposites. But this has not traditionally been the case. In fact, for most of the 20th century, socialism was a synonym for patriotism in much of the world, people working together for the common good. How they diverged is actually a musical story, which is why we asked Terrence McKnight, host of WNYC's Evening Music, to come in and explain to us why Joe the Plumber got Terrence McKnight thinking.
Well, first of all, because he said the word sound. So I'm always listening when someone says the word sound. And then Joe the Plumber, you know, is from my Buckeye State. And so
I did not know that.
That's right. And so he got me thinking about the real sounds of socialism. So I brought you some music, John, because, you know, there are a lot of songs and composers that embraced socialist ideas. But I thought I'd talk about some of the symphonic composers who actually wrote large orchestral works under socialist governments. Check this out, seemingly harmless.
It's quite beautiful.
Beautiful, seemingly harmless, but it didn't work in Romania. 1949, there was a Romanian Composers Union that kind of dictated what music was a go and what music was not.
And the go meant it was socialist and patriotic, and that it embodied those themes together.
That's right.
And this didn't cut it.
You know, there were things that could not apply or styles of composition, types of composition that were not allowed. Jazz, you know, these kind of abstract types of
dissonant music. Stravinsky was probably bad news.
So why don't we hear something that was a go? Again, we're going to hear some George Enescu. This is something that he wrote called A Romanian Rhapsody.
And this he got by the union.
Oh, yeah.
All right. And the idea here is that these themes are almost literally evoking people struggling and doing things together.
And oftentimes the music told stories of the past, you know, the Romanian heroes, the folk heroes. So, you know, this first composition we heard was considered absolute music versus program music. Program music really told a story, and that's what the composers wanted to do. That's what the government wanted, to tell these stories, music that told stories
of
the great tradition.
Those Romanian farmers, yeah. I can hear them.
Operas, oratorios.
All right, so this happened in more than just Romania, right?
Oh, well, we can go over to the USSR.
There's where thing or two about socialism.
That's right. Romania. Joseph Stalin had his thumb on what was going on, and take a listen to this.
So I give up. Is this socialist hit or decadent music that we can't listen to?
Oh, it's so beautiful. This worked. You know, this was music that was written by a composer named Reinhold Glier, and he was pretty much the boss for 10 years. He was the chair of the organizing committee of the USSR Composers Union.
So he knew what socialism sounded like.
Oh, yeah.
And he'd whistle it in the shower.
That's right. He wanted to make sure that the music that was supposed to be out there got out there, and that music that wasn't, those composers were threatened, they were imprisoned, they were
So Gliere caused all the problems for like Shostakovich, who maybe missed the mark from time to time.
Prokofiev,
right. All right. So Gliere, singing the sounds of socialism. It's very patriotic. It's very heroic sounding. Now, the USSR isn't the only place this stuff happened.
You want to talk about home?
Yeah. I mean, we have – I mean, I teed this up with Sarah Palin. Socialism is a theme in American politics and American music, too.
Yeah, well, there were composers here at home who were blacklisted, if you will. Paul Robeson, Mark Blitzstein, young Aaron Copland, Leonard Bernstein.
Now, these are musicians whose themes – were not American enough and perhaps evoked socialism, and so therefore they weren't patriotic. But listen to this. There's nothing more patriotic than this music. Fanfare for the Common Man.
Fanfare for the Common Man.
And the irony is that Copland was as American as a composer as you could get, but yet politically he was suspect.
And young Aaron Copland dabbled in jazz. And some of his ideas, Fanfare for the Common Man. So after he wrote Appalachian Spring around that time, then his music was more acceptable.
Because it evoked patriotic folk themes, and that's, of course, the unity that began this whole discussion. Thank you for this musical journey into socialism and patriotism, and Joe the Plumber.
Sounds like socialism to me.
Terrence McKnight, host of WNYC's Evening Music.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.